Blog Talk Radio.
Not sure. Is anybody on? Anybody on speaker? Anybody on speaker? We can echo. I don't know. Preparing. Okay, I'm going to end this live. I'm not sure what's going on. Okay, what I'm gonna need help with is I'm gonna click go live and see if it goes live. Although I cannot see anything on the stream. So we're gonna just test this, everybody. Just bear with me. Hi, this is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And again, we are here to share my investing story. No. Wait, not my investing story. That's just the name of the show. It is entitled My Investing Story because we desire, as volunteers of Better Investing, to share the investing story of many of our family, friends, and volunteers from the Better Investing organization. So we're very excited today to have another special guest coming on to share with you today. Before we get to our guest, I really want to make sure that we share with you a little about who we are and what we do. My name, again, is Ann McNeil, and I'm the Master Builder, and I'm joined here today with Ione McNeil, our co-host, and our special guest. But as volunteers of Better Investing, just a little bit of information about the organization. Better Investing has been around since 1951. Yes, 1951. And it is a 501c3 organization, and the organization has helped over 5 million people learn how to invest profitably in stocks through our investment club and our investment materials and online stock analysis information. But Ione and I are volunteers in the Southeast Florida chapter, and actually Ione is our chapter vice president. And so as we began to invest over 20 years ago, no, we're not that old, but we've been investing for over 20 years, both of us, we began to realize that we all have an investing story, but oftentimes we've not found a platform that is free, that would share the stories of those individual investors. We focus purely on education. We're not stock analysts. We're not stock advisors. We're not selling anything. Our desire is to encourage, inspire, and to uplift you with investment education as volunteers. So, with that being said, let me begin to introduce you to our special guest tonight. My investing story tonight will be shared by Emmanuel Scarborough. And Emmanuel was born in Green Cove, Alabama. And you know this is going to be a very interesting show coming from Alabama. At an early age, his parents taught him and his sister the importance of money. And he and his sister opened a savings account at a very early age. The money came from gifts, family members, birthdays, any kind of money they were able to raise, they made sure that they saved. And so it wasn't until his late 20s that he got involved with the stock market. And at that point, I am not going to share his entire story. I'm going to ask Emmanuel to come on. And Emmanuel, welcome to My Investing Story. How are you this evening?
Thank you for having me. I am fine.
All right.
I am honored to be on your show. And I hope that what I say actually help other individuals in their investment.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And what I'd like to do is have you start. We started talking about a little bit about you and your sister. So what I'd like to do is go back to the beginning and have you share that part of the story. I'm going to turn it over to Ione because I know she's very excited about sharing and talking with you previously prior to the show. We're going to also talk a little bit about Tulsa and the book you were sharing with us. So Ione will get into those questions because I think it's important that we understand the psychology also as relates to investing and why. Well, I'm not going to get into that. I'm too excited trying to get ahead of myself. So let's start with going all the way back to the beginning. If you would please share how you were introduced to saving and investing as your story.
I grew up on a farm in Greene County, Alabama. My grandfather and grandmother, the mother of my mother, owned the farm. We did everything that other farmers did. We had cotton, we had corn, and we even made syrup. We did these kinds of things. So my mom and dad taught us the importance of money. We started saving early on. It was important that we have a savings account, and as you said, from gifts and other kinds of things. My mother was an insurance agent, even though she only went to sixth grade. Her company actually gave away cows to kids throughout the different counties in Alabama. I was fortunate to get one.
Did you say cows, like COWS?
Yes.
I just want to make sure that I heard that. I thought I'd make sure.
Yeah, these were beef cattle that they gave us. We raised them and we showed them and then we sold them. And from this, that money I saved in a savings account. When I was in the 11th grade, I was fortunate enough to drive a school bus and get paid for it. So with that, I bought all of my clothes. I bought everything. My parents did not have to do that, and I saved some of that money. And when I went off to college, that stopped because, you know, I used some of the money I had for college, but most of my money was coming from my mom and dad. I went from there to Tuskegee Institute, where I was a graduate student and a TA. And I went from there in my late 20s to the University of Wisconsin, where I am now. While there, I thought about investing, and I bought a book, How to Buy Stock. One of the interesting things that, I don't know, it was ingrained in me, is that I always wanted to take care of myself. After I left undergraduate school in Alabama in 1962, I never asked my parents for anything. I was on my own. But what happened is that for some reason, I did not want to risk money that I had so that I would make sure that I was successful in taking care of myself all of my life. And as I'm sure Iona will ask me, when you're investing, risk is a real big thing. If I had not been so averse to risk, I may have done better in my investment. And I think that is true with a lot of individuals. As I have gotten older, now that I'm retired and I don't pretty much worry about that, I am much more, shall we say, aggressive in what I do. There is a thin line between being conservative and being aggressive when you're young. You don't want to be too conservative, and you don't want to be too aggressive. And if you do the research, as you say, in better investments and other avenues and other platforms that you can get to do research, you can find those really gems. And I think back a long time ago in the early 70s, the woman I dated, we shopped at The Limited all the time. And the limited at that time was 50 cents a share. The limited went to five.
I'm sorry. How much is that again, please?
The limited was $50 a share, I think, at that time. It started in Cincinnati. And it finally went to $50 a share.
No, you say 50 cents a share, and it went to $50.
That's right. And if you had to put $10,000 in that, you would have had about $1 million.
If you would have put a dollar in there, you still would have had a lot of money.
That's right. And then I don't know how many people know Peter Lynch in the book One Up on Wall Street. So after I read How to Invest, the area where I worked was a young man that was actually investing. He was a European. He was investing with the Magellan Fund. And Peter Lynch was the manager of the Magellan Fund. So I bought that book, but yet I was adverse to risk, and I did not do it. And so when you look at his book, it talks about if you look at Dell, if you'd have put $10,000 in Dell in 1989, in 1999, it would be worth $8 million. Of course, there were other stocks, if you put money in, you would completely lose it. There are those gems all over the place. And what he said is that in his book is that we as consumers sometimes have a better idea of what's going to do well because we are out there buying those in the store, so we know what people are buying. So if we pay attention and then go back and research those stocks, we can really be successful. I'll stop at that and let Iona go ahead and ask questions because, you know, from that on, I joined the investment club and all these other kinds of stuff. So that's happened.
Man, you're making my job easy. I just want to let you know that you're taking us right through every question I had or have. But going to your point, which is what you brought up, you know, when we talked, you were very vulnerable and transparent in telling me that I think you had about three prior investment opportunities and opportunities to join an investment club. And, you know, you already speaking to the fact that you were risk averse. So talk to us a little bit about those knocks at the door, shy away from answering until you finally ended up answering, I think maybe 1987?
Yes. One of the things I said before is that I wanted to make sure that I was putting money away so that I would have it once I got to be old. And if I stick around for another 6 months or so, I'll reach that decade of the 80s. So it'll be really nice. And so I did not want to do that. But at the time on where I worked, I still was taking out money as a tax-deferred annuity. So I was still doing something. But in terms of joining those investment clubs, I didn't do it. The first one was a group of gentlemen that worked at a dairy company. In the early 80s, I was vice president and then president of the Madison NAACP. And so after work, I would leave, walk in, take a shower, go to the office, and work. So the owner of the dairy, he would see me there, and he would come in, and we would talk. And one day he said, you know, you are a real conscientious worker. I said, well, I have to come in after work because that's the only time I can get it done. He says, we have an investment club. Would you mind want to come and invest and won't you come and visit us? So I went to visit. And of course you have in your club, they had already been going and I forgot now what the entry fee was. And I go, do I want to put that much money in and stuff like that? And that was the thing that caused me not to do it. Okay. What year was that? That was about 1984, 85.
Okay.
Before the one that I joined in 1987, 1888. And so If I had done that, stayed with that one, and then joined the other one, and they were all European Americans. And then all of a sudden, Bob Wynn started the one that we were mostly African American, and there were three European families in it. So he asked me, and so I joined. Okay? The other thing I would like to say is that, how do I say this without being, shall we say, toxic?
Just say it.
Be straight.
We started another investment club of a number of black men. And I was in the investment club with Bob at the time. And all they had to do was do research, come to the meetings, and pay their monthly investment. I said, guys, I will bring the information from what we get, because we get three stocks from that investment every month. I will bring research to you guys. You guys will be able to see it. All of a sudden, they dropped off. We were doing well.
How much was the investment?
We were only investing $25 a month.
I just wanted to publicly have you say that so that the public can hear that, $25 a month.
We were only doing $25 a month. And when we cashed out, some people had $3,000, $4,000. But they would not continue it. Now, I'll give an example of what happened with the investment club that Bob started. We were, like I said, mostly African-American, three white families. And so Bob was the president at first. And so then we wanted to rotate it. And so when we rotated it, he said, well, who wants to be president? Nobody wants to be president. So the wife of one of the white family said, I'll be president. And then all of a sudden, this one individual came up to me and said, well, I thought this was supposed to be a black thing. And I said, well, you had a chance to be president. Why didn't you do it? And he had no answer to that. A couple years later, after he and a lot of the guys, he said, how are you guys doing? I said, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. And I think, as I only know now, before the crash happened and before people took money out, we were a little bit over $700,000 in our investment club.
And how much you put in again?
We say that we want people, we do it by quarter. We want people to put in maybe at $50 a quarter. But most of people,
I just want the public to hear this. How much again?
$50 per quarter.
I just want to hear you say it.
That's for 3 months.
I want to hear you say it one more time for all of us who say, I can't afford to, you don't understand, I don't make enough. It's not what you make, it's what you do with what you make.
And the thing it is that if you invest regularly, every month, every quarter, that is important. It's not how much you put in, but it's whether or not
you
do it, how frequently you put it in. Most of these people, like we've taken money out. Some of the people, one guy took money out to redo his kitchen. Other people took money out to go on vacations. They do that. And when I first got in, that was a long time ago, and when the blacks start going out, we merged with another investment club that one of the white members belonged to, and we brought in elderly people who had as much as $95,000 or $100,000 in the club. And as these people were older than I am, much older, and as they died off, they took the money out and so forth. But if we had had all of that, we'd have been way over $1 million. Way over $1 million.
And I just want to say, too, Emmanuel, because this is a really good point that we have a first-timer, at least one first-timer on the show, because we're using language that I don't want to take for granted that people, you know. So when you say people took the money out, I do want people to understand that that person or those people were active members of an investment club. They were paying their dues every month or every quarter, and collectively each person's share was a certain amount of money. And if you had, and if you know what your share is, depending on the bylaws, you can decide to minimize your share. You can decide to cash it all out. If you, you know, if your spouse dies and you want to move to another state with your kids, you don't want to be a part of your investment club, you check the bylaws and have a discussion with your investment club, and you can cash out of your equity in the whole club. So when he's saying people was able to take money out and then they merged with another group and they brought money in, it's always in the perspective of what did you do? So I want people to understand it's not like just a general pot that, oh, I get a chance at everybody share money. We all grow together. We all fail together. But at the end of the day, depending on what your part is, if, you know, you want to keep building it up or you want to take it out, that is more specifically what he's referring to. But again, going back to what Ms. Ann is also saying, $25 a month, a group of how many people were in your original club
We had about 15 in our original club.
Okay.
And we have about 15 now.
So $25 a month, an average of 15 people over a span of 33 years, they've amassed actually more than $1 million. Now, the current value of their portfolio is about $770,000. But that is because people have taken money out. And so that is just to speak to what could you do if you spent the next 30 years investing $25 a month, how much would you be able to amass? And then when you bring it collectively, cooperative economics, you would be able to amass even more once you join an investment club.
There's one thing, you mentioned bylaws. Our bylaws state that one member cannot own more than 25% of the club. So if your value goes above that, we have to do something to bring it down. I'll give you another example of what just happened. We had one of our members who had over $100,000 in the club, and he thought that he had too much of that money. However, he did not want to take cash. So he was given stock. Okay, stock was so much money was transferred to him. So much stock was transferred to him in terms of a certain amount of money. And then he stayed out of the club for a couple of months, and then he came back in. Now he has that stock that we bought and we gave to him, and he did not have to pay taxes on that until he cashes out. Okay?
Exactly.
And something else I was going to say is that I have grandnieces and nephews. And at one point, I got a little bit of money. And so I had four grandnieces and one grandnephew. I bought all them a share of something. Okay? One of my nieces, grandnieces said, well, you know, I'm your favorite. And I gave them a choice in terms of Visa, Apple, or Google. You know what she chose, don't you?
Google.
She chose Google. And her mother says, you know she's going to get the most expensive one. And so this is something that I talked to my niece and I talked to other individuals in terms of their grandkids and that we decided that, and I decided I will not give Christmas present to them. I will give them Christmas present in the form of a stock of a company and start them very early understanding what's going on. And I think if we as African-Americans, if we do this, it will be really helpful down the line. And one of the things I saw is that I went by and I looked at all of the toys that 3-4 months after Christmas was not even being used. It was just there. And I know we look at Netflix, and I'll use that as an example. I went back at the beginning of this year in January, and when you went online and looked at certain things, it talked about the top stocks for the last decade. Okay? The top 20 stocks for the last decade. Netflix was number two. And I think if you had to put, it was up over 4,000%. So that shows you, if you'd have put just a dollar in, how much money you would have had. And you look at it, that's what people did. Netflix put, what was the name of the video store?
Blockbuster, and we all as consumers saw
right.
when Redbox was starting
yeah,
to put
right.
Blockbuster out of business, and then Netflix
yes.
put the nail in the coffin.
That's right. And now, Owen and I was talking about this. I was listening to something on my phone, and it was talking about what is the next innovation that's going to be coming. And one of the things that it is task, and it's transportation, some kind of service. And what he talks about is that you're going to have electric cars, automated cars, autonomous, that run by themselves. What is that going to do? It's going to put a lot of things out of business, but then you're going to have a lot of business going to be developed around that particular industry.
Auxiliary services. Yeah.
That's right. So, and that is coming. If you can actually tap in to those companies that are doing that, you're going to make money. I don't know how many people saw Vice President Biden's speech yesterday. I saw it. He said that they are going to build a 500,000 charging stations throughout the country, getting ready for electric cars. Okay? Other things that are going to happen. But what's going to happen is that insurance companies are going to really kind of go broke because these cars won't have as much many accidents. You're going to have problems in terms of gas stations. You're going to have charging stations instead. There's a lot of changes that's going to happen because of that. And I talked to a woman, I'm with the stock market game, and I talked to one guy last night, and he said, yeah, this guy ran a hedge fund, very successful. Once you get successful, then you start writing newsletters. And sometimes these guys don't do well. After a while, they write newsletters, and they send out what they think is going to happen. They said, well, if they knew what was going to happen, wouldn't they do it themselves? But I think the idea that you will have innovations in terms of electric cars, automatic cars, that is here to stay. And so you need to look at what chip company is going to be really in that. Is NVIDIA going to be a big part of that? Is something else going to be a big part of that? So I'll stop talking, let you ask me questions.
Well, that was perfect. We're going to hand it over to Ann.
Yeah, I just wanted to this has been phenomenal. And for those who may have just joined us, this is a Better Investing Volunteers hosting what's called My Investing Story. And the idea is to share the investing story of our investors and helping our listeners to learn how and why to invest. So our special guest tonight is none other than Mr. Emmanuel Scarborough, and he is from Green Coal, Alabama. And we're talking about how he got into the investing organization and investment club. We're going to talk the next segment before we wrap up about the stock market game for the youth that many of us are involved in for the summer. But I just want to continue to remind all of us about Better Investing, because Better Investing is a not-for-profit organization that teaches investment education. I like to call it financial empowerment education, not financial literacy. I don't really do the literacy. Ione told me about that about 10 years ago. She was like, you know, no, mommy, it's not financial literacy because that's focusing on not having. We want to focus on financial empowerment. So as volunteers with Better Investing, we're focusing on financially empowering all of our listeners, our family and friends with investment education and really helping all of us to understand how to analyze stocks and how to invest. We do not get paid. We're volunteers. We're not selling any products. We're not selling any services. We really just want to continue to bring you individual investors and let you hear their stories, honest, down-earth stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because everybody has an investment story. It's just some people are willing to share it. And so we want to thank our guest tonight, Mr. Scarborough, and the fact that he's been willing to share his story. I really like the part where he talked about, you know, getting a gift of a cow because he moved all the way back to the days of picking cotton. And so we're going to come back to Ione. We're going to talk a little bit. Now, I wrote some notes prior to the show starting where we talked about, he was sharing about Tulsa and a study that was done in the mindset shift to the negative that many blacks experience after Tulsa. So I'm not going to get ahead of you, Mrs. Scarborough. If you went, Ione, if we can just talk about that just a little bit, because I think it's very empowering and very important for us to understand the psychology and the mindset shift that is required when you start talking about being success conscious when it comes to money. And so many of us, and I'll just speak for myself, were born during a time when all we heard was a wish it coulda, shoulda, and I didn't. You know, wish it woulda, coulda, and I didn't. And so for me in particular and our family, my husband is also a very astute investor and very conscientious when it comes to money, and he has passed that on to all of us. So as investors, we're focusing on investment education and volunteering. We want to just encourage you to go to betterinvesting.org. Ione, we'll go ahead and add the, Michelle, if we can add the betterinvesting.org website as a part of the content for the Blog Talk Show. And Ms. Marshall, if you can add it into the Facebook post. And then, Michelle, we want to continue to encourage people to go to Better Investing, which is a not-for-profit organization that teaches investment education. And so right now we do have a free membership that's offered on the front page of that website at the very bottom. So with that, Ione, I'm going to come back to the two of you, and now let's begin to someone is asking a question. Ione, are you managing the questions in the chat?
Yes. So really quick, if you are interested in joining a club that the South Florida chapter of Better Investing is actually starting a model club. Last Saturday we had our first meeting. This Saturday will be our second meeting. If you want to be a part of us forming a club and getting to know what that experience is like, please text me your email, your name and your full name and email address, and I will add you and send you the invite to that. If you want to join an investment club that is more in your area, Michelle has put into the link, I mean the chat, a bit.ly link, which is bit.ly/BI local chapters, and you'll be able to find a model club or a private investment club that's more in your area that you can visit if they're open to visitors. Model clubs are always open. That's why we have them. So, yes, to Michelle. The South Florida chapter is actually meeting online, but when we were meeting in person, we were meeting in Plantation, which is off of Valley Boulevard.
Okay. Could you repeat the question? You said yes, Michelle, but those who are listening on.
I gave the answer in my question, which was we are meeting online. Any physical meetings would be in the Broward area.
Okay, thank you so very much, Ione. Okay, all right. So, Emmanuel, if you and Ione, if we can go back to the conversation about Tulsa and the psychology of a conversation that we were having before the show started about the young lady that went back and did the research. and the book that you have that you were sharing. Could you just share some of that information, please?
Thank you. One of the things that I like to do is that I like to know about our history. And it is a really rich history. Many of us don't take the time to look and find those nuggets about our history. Another thing that happens is that once a good book is written about our history, it's published only once. It's not republished. And if you don't get it then, you don't get it, and it is not advertised. What we were talking about earlier is a podcast on NPR. Dr. Lisa Cook went back and looked at innovation, and economists were saying that you only needed capital and labor to grow your economy. Then someone came up and said you also need innovation, that is, patents, laws be enforced, other kinds of things. Dr. Cook says, well, I think there's something else involved. I think that people need to feel safe in order to really allow their minds to think about the things that could be. So she decided to go back and look at black patents from 1870 to 1940. And so if for people out there that don't know why 1870 is important, because from 1965 to 1977 was Reconstruction. And most of the African-American colleges were founded during that particular time.
You mean 1865?
18.
Yes, 18.
From 1865 to 1877.
With
right.
Reconstruction
most,
in America.
Reconstruction, that was one Reconstruction.
Right.
People talk about others, okay?
The first one after the end of the Civil War.
Yes. And so most of the African Americans' colleges were formed during that particular time. So she chose 1870 to 1940 to look at patents that were filed by African Americans. She had a lot of problems because their names were not put down in terms of race and other kinds of things. She finally found a way in which to do it. And what she saw is a lot of patents being formed, being filed between, 1870 to 1899. And then all of a sudden, she found that in 1921, that was a mass drop-off in the amount of patents that were filed. And she wondered why. And she went back and looked, and what was it? It was the Tulsa riots. And everyone knew about the Black Wall Street. So that meant that all of a sudden, Black innovators did not feel safe. The avenue to filing their patents was cut. They couldn't do it. They didn't have an environment by which to do it. So all of a sudden, all of that progressive brain power stopped. And then she went and later looked all the way into 2010. Still 1899. Why is that? I thought about that. And what I thought was that during slavery, our ancestors knew how good we were, what we can do. We were iron workers. We built the White House. We did all of these other kinds of things. And so once all of a sudden we were free, 14 minutes, they all of a sudden their minds just went, oh, I can do this. I can do this. I can do that. And then all of a sudden, when their safety was put in jeopardy, when they knew they would be killed, it squashed that. Think about all of the, shall we say, money that would have been made both for black and whites. If there had been a freedom for African Americans to actually invent the kinds of things that their minds could think of. Okay? I think everybody knows about the real McCoy, right?
No.
Okay? That was a instrument that actually would oil the steam engine. And a black man named McCoy was the one who invented it. Other people tried to invent it as well, and they didn't work. And so people would say, I want the real McCoy. So that expression of give me the real McCoy came from that.
I think his name was Elijah McCoy.
Yeah. And so for other people here, I'm sure they know a lot about a lot of different inventions and other kinds of things. One of the things I found out is that one of the scientists actually found a new way of synthesizing a steroid. And think about how that has helped individuals in terms of their health. And all the other inventions that could have taken place. And I don't know whether or not many people know Sears and Roebuck were a black man and a white man. You know that, right, Ms.?
I remember now that you bring it back up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A white man and a black man.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And see, like I said, I was born in 41, almost born in 40. And when I was growing up, black people flocked to Sears and Roebuck because of Roebuck. He was the one that was doing all these other kinds of things. But all of a sudden, we came here in the, 70s or so forth, and it was Sears. The Roebuck family was pushed out. A lot of that innovative things that happened with us really kept us from being, shall we say, much more economically sound as families that we could have been.
Right. Emmanuel, can you actually share the name of the book? Because I want to put it in the chat for anybody that.
The name of the book is Death in a Promised Land. That's the main title. The subtitle, The Tulsa Race Riots of 1921, Scott Ellsworth. And I'll hold it up for people. Okay.
What's the author's name again?
Scott Ellsworth, Ellsworth. Yeah. And one of the things that I do, and this does not necessarily have anything to do with investment, is that I watch sports to look at it from a social point of view. If we go all the way back, black men were not allowed to play quarterback in the NFL. You fast forward today, four of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL are African American. And they've had a hard time getting there. Okay. Another thing that I do, like I said, I liked to know about us and what is going on and what we have done. Here in Wisconsin, we have the Wisconsin Breeders Association. And that is an organization that have Holstein cows. They take the semen from the bulls, and they send it all over the world to do artificial insemination of cows. The first artificial insemination was done in West Africa. Another thing that is going on now is that we have COVID-19, and it's raising heck with our economy, and it is raising heck with the health of Americans. And we are looking for a vaccine. The first vaccine, or not necessarily a vaccine, the first control of smallpox was done in West Africa. in the book that is labeled Stamp from the Beginning. I think that's the name of the book it is. Let me make
one sure. On the bestseller list now?
No, Stamp, is Stamp from the Beginning on the bestseller list now?
Yeah, Ibrahim.
Yeah. It's his book. And what happened is that in that book, in the early chapters, it talks about one of the ministers, Cotton. These individuals came over, and smallpox was running rampant in the eastern United States. And he asked this African, you know, did they know how to do this? And he said, yes. You scratch the arm, and you put just a little bit on, and then eventually you develop an immunity to it. And so that was the beginning, shall we say, a vaccine. And so that started in West Africa many, many years ago. And the book is called The African Nation, The Application of America. All of the things that was done there in West Africa, and that was transferred here. And so when we as a people see this, then we should feel proud. We should feel proud. So I know that got away from the investment part, but I just thought I would bring that up.
No, I think it's very, yeah,
you appreciate
it. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very important as we continue to learn, first of all, about who we are. And when you talked about the safety and having safety in the freedom and freedom and safety.
Yes.
You know, oftentimes we think of the body, but it's also the mind and the spirit also.
Yes, that is true.
When you think about your imagination and tapping into your subconscious mind and the infinite intelligence, when you feel that you're going to be harmed, you know, think of the book, Man's Search for Meaning, and how he was able to, in his mind, save himself, if you will, right? So for many of us, we think back to slavery and just being able to even have this conversation. There were people who decided, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up, right? So when you think about seeing what happened, and even now, it feels people are still living, you can hardly get them to talk about that subject when they experience that. And so oftentimes we don't think about the psychology and the trauma that goes along with that part of living. But then people look at many of us as Blacks or African Americans, Cindy, whatever you want to call us, but you really don't know the story, you see, in terms of all of those things that go into this whole idea of whether or not you're going to invest. And so just that alone just oftentimes just helps us to really really focus on studying. And, you know, one of the other favorite books we talk about is, you know, Study to Show Yourself Approved. And this is one of those subjects, and you said it earlier, you started investing because you started reading about the subject. And your reading drew you to other investors who were in investment clubs. You didn't take advantage of the first one, but you did the second and third. And so that's what we really want to share with our listeners, and the fact that this is a total life, if you will, I and our family members. And so one of the best, I think, gifts we can give to family is financial empowerment information. And so we're all family. It's just imagine as a part of the show, and we want to thank you. But before we start wrapping up, both of you, if there are any last words or comments, we also want to ask those of you who are listening in, please let us hear from you in the chat. If you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, you don't like what we said, you like what we can, you let us hear from you in the chat on Zoom and also in the comment section on Facebook. So, Marshall, if you have any questions or comments, and Ione, if we have any more conversation
There are two people that reached out, so I am going to send you some information about the Model Club. But to continue on this conversation, I have just a few comments, because, again, I am very excited to have Emmanuel on. Can you hear me?
Yes, a little bit better. You're fading away.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so I'm just saying that I'm very excited to have Emmanuel on because he is a new friend of mine. We met during the stock market game, and we're both counselors and advisors to different groups and teams within the stock market game, which is an opportunity. You can't hear me?
No, it's hard to hear you. But can you share a little bit? We're talking about the stock market game. Both of you mentioned it. So can you just officially just share with the listeners, what is this stock market game? What is it all about?
So the stock market game is a 10-week opportunity for communities of color, students of color, that more often than not have never been exposed to investing, and it allows them to have a portfolio of $100,000 to invest over a period of 10 weeks. And there's a curriculum that they follow. The groups are no more than five with at least two adult advisors per group. And it's just been a great learning experience because, one, you know, in our mind, even as adults, we all say, oh, I wish I had such and such money. What would I do with it? And I just checked in with some advisors that the kids are acting like the parents or the adults where they have all this money and they're scared to lose it. So even though they are 10, 15, 18, they're already acting like Emmanuel when he was 40, I'm scared to lose it. I don't want to make a decision. So it's really a great training ground, giving them the opportunity to be able to get comfortable with money, because a lot of times if you grew up poor or without, you're not comfortable with it. It's wrapped up in a whole lot of other stuff. You know, I got to get it. It means this, all of these things. And you probably only learn how to work for it, not how to make a decision to make it work for you or how to make a decision to make it grow. So that's what the stock market game is. We have teams in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, and throughout the state of Florida that are participating, and we're currently in week five. And it's been a great learning experience all the way around.
Now, is the money real money or play money?
Of course it's not. Of course. It's real enough. It's real enough.
To ask a question, so you know there are people who are listening because this show is evergreen and people will be listening in the future, and they're going to want to know. Is she talking about real money? So can you just explain that?
There's a question in the chat. This is a pilot program, so any youth that want to participate, they can reach out to us throughout the year or next year. Next summer, we're going to host it again. But this pilot program is already closed since it's only 10 weeks and we're already in the fifth week. But stay in touch with us because we'll be doing different things throughout the year. But the stock market game will probably come back again next summer. One of the things that I did want to mention was one of my favorite books, Emmanuel, and we haven't talked about this yet, is The Education of Blacks in the South from 1860 to 1935 by James D. Anderson, and it's by University of North Carolina Press.
Okay.
And, we'll definitely talk more about this, but the reason this book jumped back out to me was because going to the study, what I don't think we really realize, and it requires, this ties into another point I'm going to say, privilege is prevalent. You know, usually we attach it to white privilege. But to me, what it really means is having the space and the time to think. Anybody that's ever seen Maslow Hierarchy of Needs or just dealt with people in your family or community, you know that if you on an everyday basis have to worry about food, clothing, and shelter, you do not have a lot of mental energy to think about anything else other than that because that stuff is not essential. But once your essentials are taken care of, going to the study, once you feel safe, going to our forefathers, I think they knew the difference between their station in life and who they were. being enslaved is a station in life. Most of them that came out of that station in life and was able to progress into becoming inventors, having their own, what the book I just mentioned is about, how Black people educated themselves within a 20-year span of time how to read, because we adopted an each one teach one. Everybody was in the schoolhouse learning alphabets, connecting it to words, connecting it to sentences to be able to read, how to get land, how to be able to move freely, and just own your space in the world and in this society. And so I think that one thing that we're doing with My Investing Story is providing to you the knowledge, the information, the opportunity to gain a certain level of privilege in your own life. Because once you start to take care of your needs and necessities, and going back to Emmanuel's story, once he was able to save enough to where he felt comfortable to take risks, that's when he did it. But it came with knowledge, it came with experience, and it also came with gathering a certain amount of resources so that then he could make a decision to say, you know what, I can handle a little more risk now. Let me do this or let me do that. So those are really my Emmanuel, can you hold the book up again, please? And Wilbur, I did put the name of the book in the chat. It's called Death in a Promised Land, The Tulsa Race Riot of 1921 by Ellsworth, Scott Ellsworth. So thank you. Those are really my closing comments. Emmanuel, do you have any closing comments and also advice to new investors? Because we have a lot of people that are on their beginning journey of investing on the call.
My advice is to read, learn as much as you can. And as like I said, Peter Lynch says, pay attention. See what's coming. See what's going to be the new innovations. One other thing I want to say is that in my group of the stock market game, one of the young men in my group, he has already opened a Charles Schwab account and he has bought a stock for himself. And he's 14 years old. So he's starting early. He works. He really, really likes this. So I see this young man doing great things in the future. Hopefully we will get more than him interested in doing this.
But it's a start.
Yes.
And I think also what you and Ione and a lot of other volunteers are doing this summer with the stock market game is the beginning of something deep. And it may take us 10 or 20 years to even see the net impact. As many of these children become adults, they will never forget what they're learning, never. So we're going to go ahead and prepare to wrap up. Ione, any last comments from you or Emmanuel before we wrap up? We want to also thank all of our listeners, especially those of you who keep coming back, and there are many of you that will be listening in the future because the show is evergreen. And so you can please plan to join us at betterinvesting.org. You can join our Facebook group at Better Investing Southeast Florida Chapter, or any of the Better Investing groups that may be in your area. Ione, Emmanuel, any closing comments?
No, I have none. Turn over to the owner.
I'm good. Thank you so much again for your time, Mr. Emmanuel. We really appreciate you sharing your story. And I'm sure we all learned a little bit something from it.
I thank you. It was a privilege for me to be here. And I'm very happy that you thought I was worthy of being a guest on your show.
Aww. Well, listen, this is My Investing Story. We're all volunteers with Better Investing. We want to continue to invite our guests and our family and our friends to join us. And if you'd like to be a guest on our show, then you can reach out to us at 561-352-4967. And that, of course, you can text or call. That's Ione McNeil. And we will make arrangements to have you come on and share.
Mrs. McNeil, everybody, you know Bob is not on, but I see his wife is on. Did you see,
hi,
notice
Millie.
That?
Oh,
she is there.
Hey, Millie.
Oh, hey, Millie.
Wow. Now, Bob is on Facebook, so he's making comments about
you. Oh, Bob is on Facebook. Okay.
Yeah, Bob is over on Facebook chatting about you right now. So, yes, Bob is still present. He's not on this Zoom, but he is here with us in spirit. And we love you, Millie, and we love you, Bob. We also want to give a shout out to Vicki and Jaeger. I'm not sure if she's on. But
Jackie
Coates.
Hey, everybody. This is Miss Millie.
Hi, and we hear Bob laughing in the background.
It took me that long to find the mute.
You're not the only one.
Sorry, I'm just messing with this light. Y'all forgive me. There's too many things going on. Sorry about that. So, Millie, do you have any closing comments yourself, please, ma'am?
No. It's just always a pleasure, as Emmanuel said, to be part of this group. And the level of education and outreach that you're sharing to all of us is just life-changing. So thank you for doing this, because we know it's not easy to organize and pull this off as regularly and as well done as the two of you do it. So thank you.
It is a labor of love, Chuck. It's a labor of love. So we want to thank you for joining us. We want to thank all of our participants tonight that came on. And we want to give a special shout out to Michelle, Marshall, Laverne, Girl, and all of our volunteers that make this show happen. Ione and I, we just add a face to the place. But the power in the investing story. And I like to always remember when I started investing, it was a $20 bill. $20 bill. And if anybody had told me then, over 20 plus years ago, the power of something as simple as a $20 bill once a month invested that I use every day that could conceivably yield me six figures over 30, 40 years, $20 bill. And you've heard the examples on the show tonight where Mr. Emmanuel talked about he talked about Netflix. If you just put a dollar in, you could be a millionaire today. Another one was Dell and some of the other stocks. The Limited, for example, 50 cents when it started, and it went up to $50. But those same kinds of companies are being born today. We're just not paying attention because we're not thinking about what is it that we use. Is really just that simple. But what happens oftentimes, and Ione and I have talked about this, I don't have a problem saying Robinhood and some of the other programs, but we focus on investment education, investment, financial empowerment of your mind. Nobody can tell you if you know differently and you've done the research like Emmanuel talked about and you've done the study and you've done the analysis yourself. We're volunteers. People helped us, and they were volunteers. And when Ione and I look at the difference that information has made in our lives, we've made a commitment to share. And that's why we come on as volunteers. We created this show as Better Investing Volunteers, not for any other reason than just to serve. And so with that, we want to thank all of you for joining us. We will be back here next week. We're not going to tell you who we're having because it is a surprise. It's a real surprise. It's a surprise, so you got to show up to find out who the surprise is. But trust me, you will be happy and pleased, and you will not be disappointed because tonight we have received a history education. We didn't get to talk about picking cotton yet, so man, you know, we have to have you come back and talk about picking cotton. But anyway, everybody, we know the night is well invested, and so we want to thank you for investing your time with us. And we will see you next. Thank you very much, everybody, and good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.